we know is the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 explains what faith is. It says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes on in chapter 11 and it begins to tell the stories of all these people in the Old Testament who had faith, who had a problem, who had a struggle, who had something going on in their life, and through faith, they overcame it. We see, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. I mean, he went not knowing. Abraham had faith. So many others, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, by faith Joshua, all these different people who had faith. We see down in the end of the chapter in verse 39, it says, and these all, talking about all those who had faith, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it goes right into chapter 12 saying, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about, with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe that cloud of witnesses is those people who had that faith, who are cheering us on in our Christian life. It says, a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us. It's funny to look at in that verse. If you see, it doesn't say, let us lay aside every weight that doth easily beset us. It says, let us lay aside every weight, comma, and the sin. You know, there could be things in your life or in my life that aren't necessarily wrong or bad things, but they're keeping me from doing what God wants me to do. They're keeping me from furthering myself as a Christian. That's a weight. Something that's holding me back. Hey, it may not be a bad thing, but it's holding me back. And in turn, that becomes a sin. But the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. Whatever's in your life that's holding you back from doing what God wants you to do, you need to lay it aside. If I wanted to run a marathon, I wouldn't wear a 50-pound backpack. I'd lay aside every weight so I could run how I'm supposed to run. Let us lay aside every weight, comma, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And obviously, if there's sin in our lives, we need to get rid of that to run the race. We know that. It goes on to say, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Life's race. Every one of us are running a race. No matter how young, no how old, we're running a race. And the Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, that race sometimes gets difficult. That race sometimes becomes hard and we get tired and we think, I read this verse and say, Lord, how am I supposed to run this race and keep going and stay strong? How can I run with patience the race that is set before me? How can I do that? I believe the answer is found in verse 2. If you look at the end of verse 1, there's not a period there. There is a comma. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, comma, how? By looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, if you make Jesus the focal point of your life, you're going to be able to run your race with patience. You're going to be able to do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. How amazing to think of that. How Jesus faced the cross and he was beaten, he was mocked, and his beard was ripped from his face, and he was nailed to a cross, and he called it a joy. He found joy in dying for you and me. He found joy in it. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What encouraging verses those are. What exciting verses we read in Hebrews chapter 12. They're so encouraging to my heart. But what I'm going to do is just take a simple phrase from these verses tonight and preach on it. And that's found in verse 1. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When I think of a race, I think of sports. And when I think of sports, I think of a special football game that I got to go to just a couple weeks back. And actually what the Lord gave me this message was through that game, through these verses. And I know many people here are U of M fans and Michigan State, and I'm not sure which one I should be rooting for yet. So I'm just going to stick with I don't know. I don't even know if UMass has a team, so I don't know who to vote for, but I know that I've talked to many people. I know last time I was here, Brother Hendershot put on a number on the back of Donald Jr. As a, some sort of sports player. And I know that sports are a big part of everybody. Like, we all love sports. I'm not very good at them, but I like them. But when I think of a race, I think of sports. I think of this football game that I got to be a part of just a couple weeks ago. Marissa's brothers play on a football team in Cape Cod. And their team was the Dennis Yarmouth Dolphins. They call them the DY Dolphins with the football team, just a high school team. And their team had an undefeated season. They didn't lose one game. I believe at the end of their season, they were 11-0. Well, when we were up visiting her parents, we got to go to the Super Bowl game. This was the last game of the season. This was for all the different counties. This was the last game. This was going to show who was the champion for everything. The Super Bowl champion. And they had never made it there. As a school, the school had never made it to the Super Bowl. This was their first year. So we were excited to be a part of that game, and we got there, and the stands were full on each side, and it was, they were facing the Wakefield Warriors was the opponent. So it was the Dolphins against the Warriors, and we sat on the Dolphin side. We were cheering them on. We were excited to see her brothers play, and what a great game it was. I'll speed through the game. The ending of the game was the Dolphins won 35-0. Just shut the other team out. It was an awesome game. You know, just a lot of great touchdowns, a lot of great interceptions and tackles. Just an exciting game to be a part of. Well, as I was sitting in that game, cheering on our team, and we were, all these different people were cheering for the Dolphins and telling these different things from the stands, I began to think about my life. I began to think about my family and my ministry and I began to think about just my Christian life. As people were cheering. And there were a couple things that people cheered, even I cheered, that reminded me of the Christian life. I'm just going to take three statements made by the fans very often during that game that reminded me of my Christian life. The first one was simply this. When the Dolphins were playing well, and they were, you know, stopping the offense, and they were playing good defense, and they were making their passes, and they were getting through, and they were getting touchdowns, and when they were doing very well, when they were playing well, there were two words that I said, and many people all around me would say, would yell to those players. Keep going! Hey guys, you're doing a great job! Hey, keep on going! Get another one! Hey, keep going! Keep going. I thought about that in my own Christian life. How we need to keep going. You know, when things are great, when those players did well, I told them, hey, keep going, do great. You know that when things are doing great in your Christian life, there's never a time to stop. So often it's easy when the Lord's blessing and when things are going great in your life and things are going great at church to just kind of stop. Say, man, the Lord's taking good care of me. Just kind of sit back and relax now and bask in these blessings. No, there's never a time to stop. We need to keep going. When things are going great, we need to keep going. When things are bad, obviously, we always hear messages preached on, hey, when it gets tough, keep going. But even when things are going great, we gotta keep going. When the Lord's blessing this church, when the Lord's blessing your life, keep going. You know, you can never pass out too many tracks. There's never a quota on how many tracks you can pass out. Hey, there's never a quota on how many kids can ride the bus to church. Hey, there's never a quota on how many people can get saved. There's never a limit on how many visitors we bring in. There's never a limit to that kind of stuff. We gotta keep going. A couple things we need to keep going. I believe we need to keep going for God. Keep going for God. The Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling. Hey, keep going for God. Whatever the Lord wants you to do in your life, hey, keep going. Keep searching for His will. Whatever it may be, keep going for God. Hey, keep going for others. You know that no matter who you are, there's someone that looks up to you. There's someone that is watching your life. And because of that, I need to keep going. Because if I fail, or if I get away from God, or if I stop going and I kind of just sit back and relax and not really care about the things of the Lord, when I stop, it affects others. There's people who are watching you and me, and we need to keep going for those people. Because when we stop serving God or whatever it may be, others may too. There's people who are watching us. Hey, keep going for others. Also, keep going telling others to keep going. You know when we would tell those players and we'd cheer for them, we'd say, guys, keep going, you're doing a great job. You know that if they could hear us, I have no doubt in my mind that they would say, you know what, we should keep going. Hey, I know when I would, at college, they had basketball games, and we would cheer for the team that we wanted to cheer for, and I spoke with some of the players after the game. I said, you know, do our cheers help you play any better? You know, I didn't know. And they said, you know what? It does. They said, when you cheer, it gets us fired up, and it gets us excited to play, and it makes us less nervous, and we can play better when you're cheering for us. You know, when you're telling others to keep going for God, it encourages their heart, and it makes it a lot easier to keep serving God. I bet that Pastor Rich, if you had told me, you know, Pastor, I love you. Thanks for being a great pastor. Keep on doing what the Lord's doing. Keep on preaching. I bet that would encourage his heart. You never know how you say can affect someone. Hey, Brother Boston, you never know when there's a bus kid getting ready to quit on God, getting ready to quit on church, stop riding that bus. And you say, you know what, buddy? Hey, thanks for coming to church. Hey, keep on coming. Keep going. We don't know how the effect that can have. Hey, you don't know the effect when you don't know who's hurting or who's struggling with a problem. You can say, hey, thanks for being here tonight. Hey, I love you. Hey, keep on going. We don't know how that can affect somebody. How it can, maybe that was the turning point. Maybe they were getting ready to quit on God and go back into the world and do wrong or do whatever they shouldn't be doing. And just that simple smile, that simple handshake or that hug is what caused them to keep going. Keep on going, telling others to keep going. There's a song that reminds me of this point, and it simply is this. You might have heard it before. It goes like this. Walk on, walk on for Jesus. Walk on in His name, lifting high the blood-stained banner. Walk on in His name. We need to keep going, church. Hey, Loomis Park Baptist Church, I'm here to tell you, keep going. Keep on going. Another thing that I heard a lot during that game was when the Dolphins would score a touchdown, man, we'd cheer for them. Hey, guys, keep going. They'd score their touchdown, then they'd kick off. And after that first play, they'd line up on the line, and we'd say this, defense! Defense! And we'd all cheer and say, defense! Defense! Hey, we wanted them to stop the offense. We wanted them to get that ball back. We wanted them to become the offense and to get them to fumble it and to intercept it, whatever. We wanted them to play defense. And in our Christian life, we need to play defense a lot of times. I believe that we need to defend the Word of God. You know that this world is trying to change God's Word. This world is trying to change the words of God, and they're trying to add things to it and take away things from it when it's right just the way it is. We need to defend God's Word. Defend the Word of God. Hey, we need to defend the morals of the Word of God. Defending what's right and what God says to do in the Word of God. We need to stand up for what's right. We need to stand up and realize that what God said in His book is what we need to do. And we need to stand up for what's right. So often, whether it's at work or wherever we may be or at school, when others are doing wrong and going against what God wants, to just kind of follow. But we need to stand up and defend the morals of the Word of God. You know that if somebody, I believe the problem with America today, America's always had a sin problem. Everybody has. We have a sin problem as people. Sin is not the problem in America. I mean, it's just everybody's a sinner. We know we're a sinner. The Lord has grace upon us. But here's the problem. I believe that we're trying to make sin okay. America is trying to make sin okay. Like there's no problem with it. You know that if an alcoholic, a raging alcoholic, tried to run for mayor, for president, no one would vote for him. You know, if someone who was addicted to some sort of drug or something like that tried to run for mayor or tried to run for president, nobody would vote for them. They'd say, no, we want someone like that in presidency. I mean, that's wrong. And how are they supposed to run a nation? But the same person, someone who is a homosexual can run for an office and get it. Just in Holyoke, just this past year, there was a 22-year-old homosexual man who was voted in as mayor. And the problem is people are trying to make sin okay. They're trying to say that certain things that God's Word says, hey, maybe they were wrong back then, but they're not wrong anymore. Hey, times are changing. When the truth of the matter is, what God's Word says is right, and what it says stands forever. Hey, we need to defend the morals of the Word of God. Defend the morals of the Word of God. You know what else we need to defend? We need to defend ourselves from sin. We need to defend ourselves from sin. The Lord's Prayer says this, that model prayer in the Gospels. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it says this, and lead us not into temptation. A part of every single one of us as Christians, a part of our daily prayer life should be, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, you know what it is that I have a sin problem with. Lord, you know what it is that I find hard to get past sometimes. Lord, I beg you, please, lead me not into temptation. Lord, help me never to even be around things that are going to cause me to sin. Defending yourself from sin. You know, a good way to stop drinking is not going to bars. That's just the way it is. Hey, if you don't want to drink, you shouldn't be even around that kind of stuff. And whether it's that or something else, You need to defend yourself from sin. Pray, say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lead me not. Defend yourself from sin. We know the song in the hymn book says, hold the fort for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Playing defense. Defense. Defending. You know that the Dolphins, I remember a certain part in that game, that football game, that the Dolphins were playing defense, and this other team, the Wakefield Warriors, they were doing a little bit better, and they'd get a completion, they'd get yardage, and they'd get yardage. They were all the way up to the 1 yard line, that close to getting a touchdown, and the Dolphins stopped them. They stopped right at the 1 yard line. They never got a touchdown. But as I saw that, I realized this. Those players, those football players playing defense, they were willing to do anything to stop the offense. Hey, they were willing to do anything to not let the opponent get the touchdown. They were willing to play as hard as they had to get that ball back. They were willing to do anything. And the question in our Christian lives, when it comes to walking with God or serving God, how bad do we want it? How bad do we want it? Man, those players, they would have done anything they could to get that ball back. They would have played as hard as they could through the pain and the sweat and whatever it may be. They were willing to play hard to get what they wanted. And how bad as Christians do we want it? How bad do you want to see God grow this church? How bad do you want to see souls saved? How bad do you want a relationship with the Savior? How bad do you want it? How much are you willing to do to get close to God? How much are you willing to do to see God fill this building and to fill that balcony? How bad do you want it? Brother Boston, how bad do you want to see that bus filled? How bad do we want to see God do great things in this church? Think about that. These players were willing to do anything to get it. And what are you willing? How bad do you want it? Could you imagine a player that didn't care playing defense? As he stood there in the line, and they said hike, and he was playing defense. He just kind of stood up, put his hands in his pockets, and watched everybody run by him. The ball passed, going, catching the touchdown. He probably wouldn't last in that team very long at all because he didn't care. He didn't care. And how much do we care about it? Are we like that player who just kind of sit in the pew, we don't really do much, we don't really sing out, we don't really want to be here, we just kind of sit there. But how bad do we want it? How bad do we want to see God do great things? See, Pastor Donald, I don't have the power, I don't have the wisdom to be able to go soul winning on Saturday. I just don't know how to lead someone to the Lord. See, I can't do that. Donald, I can't help with the bus kids. I just don't know how to deal with them. Donald, I don't know how to deal with children. Or Donald, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, Brother Donald, I can't do this. Hey, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. Brother Donald, I can't go soul winning. I don't know how to do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't take care of the children. I can't do junior church. I can't preach. I can't be missionary. Hey, the Bible says, and think of what the Word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can do it because God said you can. We can never say we can't because the Lord gives us the power. So playing defense, defending the Word of God and the morals, and defending ourselves from sin. Another thing I heard, and this is the last thing that I heard as we were at that game watching, and this actually goes with any sport, not just football. But certain times during the game, someone would grab a helmet, or someone would grab the shirt, or someone would be whatever. I don't know. I honestly don't know a lot about sports, but I do know that there were times in the game when there were these certain people dressed in black and white stripes, and they would do something with their arms and make some sort of, and people did not like it. People did not like what that man said. It seemed like something would happen and we'd be watching the play, and then suddenly it looked like the sun was falling because all these yellow flags were hitting the ground, and we're like, what's going on? And we're sitting there listening and we're watching the game. We're saying, you know what? It definitely wasn't my team. My team never did anything wrong. I know we didn't get that call. That's got to be on the other team. It's definitely not my team. We're the best. We never make mistakes. And that's how it is most of the time. Whatever team we're rooting for never does anything wrong. But as that referee would make that call, we'd be waiting for it. So what's he going to say? What's he going to say? And then he'd make the call. And if it was against our team, this is what we'd say.
Oh, it's a bad call, ref. Ref, that's a bad call. What are you thinking? That doesn't make any sense. Are you blind? How much did the other team pay at halftime? We yell. That's a bad call, ref. That's a bad call. Because we didn't agree with the call he made. We didn't agree. It didn't make sense to us. I'd sit there and say, how could the ref be that crazy to make that call? That just doesn't make any sense to me. We say, bad call. Sometimes in our lives, something will come into our life and it won't make sense. Trial, a struggle, a problem, a financial burden, a death in the family. Something will come in and just hit us hard. And we say, Lord, how could you have this happen to me at such a crucial time in my life? Lord, why does this happen? It doesn't make any sense. Lord, that's a bad call. And we tell that to the Lord and say, Lord, that's a bad call. Why would you have that happen to me? And the truth of the matter is that when God makes the call, it's never a bad call. When God makes the call, it is never a bad call. It is always the right call. Although it may not make sense to us, although we may not understand why the Lord would have us go through such a trial or a struggle, when He makes the call, it's always, always, always right. And it's always good. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Lord never makes a bad call. No matter how crazy it seems, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, He never makes a bad call. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We see down in verse 13, it says this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what that verse says about me? That verse pretty much calls me a liar. Because so often in my life, I say something like this. Man, I'm never going to be able to handle this. Man, I'm never going to make it to this trial. Man, I'm never going to be able to pay that bill or I'm never going to be able to do this or that. I can't do it. I'll never make it through this. But God's Word tells me that whatever comes into my life, whatever trial or struggle comes into my life, He's faithful. And it says, He will not suffer me to be tempted above that I'm able. He'll never give me something I can't handle, but He always will make a way to escape that I may be able to bear it. Although we may think it's a bad call in our lives, God always has a way out. God always has an answer. Always has an answer. No matter how hard it may seem. No matter how much you think that you're the only one going through that problem and the Lord will never be able to bring you through it, He said, He promised in His Word, there's a way to get through this problem. There's a way to get through this struggle. Hey, the Lord never makes a bad call. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says this, but I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Let me say that one more time and please think about it. I want you right now to think about a struggle you're going through. Think about a problem you're going through, even if it's small or big. The Bible says this, but I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Hey, no matter how bad it seems, no matter what trial you're going through, the Bible says it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. We sang the song this evening, what a day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. Hey, what a day, glorious day that will be. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Listen to this.
Never a burden we cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. When the Lord makes the call, it's never a bad call. Please remember that. You know, the only time that we're allowed, the only time that it's okay to say bad call is when the world makes the call. Hey, when the world makes the call about something and we know it's not right, hey, it's okay to say, hey, that's a bad call, world. We need to stand up for what's right, like I said. But when the world makes the call, it's okay to say, hey, that's a bad call. But when God makes the call in your life, it's never a bad call. It's never a bad call. You know, I think about the ending of that game. And like I said, the game was 35-0 at the end. And we were so excited for her brothers. You know, and for the school in general, man, this is their first Super Bowl championship. And they were excited. And this is how the game went at the end. The last about 2 minutes or so, it was 35-0. And the other team knew that they had no hope. They really did. It was kind of actually, if I think about it now, I feel kind of bad for that other team because, you know, there's a bunch of seniors in the team, and they're finishing off their senior year, losing that bad. I felt kind of bad for them. But as the game came to a close, about a minute left, what they did was they took all the varsity players out, and they put all the junior varsity in. You know that the junior varsity held back that team just as good as the varsity? That team was not very good, that other team. And they held them back, and the time winded down, the clock winded down. That last 20 seconds, the other team just walked off the field. They didn't even finish the last 20 seconds. They just left. They were just sad. They were just unhappy for the loss. But the other team, the Dolphins, they were excited. Man, those seniors, even the last minute, they were already cheering. They knew they already won. Man, they were dumping the coolers on the coaches, and they were excited and screaming and giving each other high fives. They were excited. But you know what happened? That clock finally went to zero, and the game was over. The win was final. And let me tell you what didn't happen. When that clock ran out and the game was over, I'll tell you what, this is what didn't happen. The players didn't just say, oh, that was a good game. Let's go to the bus and go home. That's not what happened. Not at all. Those players, when they won that game, when the time ran out and the game was over, this is what the team did. All 50, 60 of those players, all dressed in green and white, they all ran to the center of the field. And they took off their helmets. This is not mine. This is Eric Zawadzki's, but I borrowed it for the illustration. They took off their helmets, and they gathered around in, and I guess you'd call it like a victory huddle. And they all were gathered together, and they took off their helmets, and they held them up high. And they just kind of ran around in circles, and they were excited. They were screaming. They were cheering. They were the winners. And as I sat in the stands, and I watched them do that, and I began to think about my life. And I began to think about how one day the Lord's going to come get us. Or one day this life will be over and all troubles and trials will be over. And we'll be able to gather around in that same victory huddle. We'll be able to take our crowns and hold our crowns up high right before we lay them at Jesus' feet. In that victory huddle, realizing that, hey, Jesus won. Hey, we won. Hey, the devil's defeated. Sin is defeated. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hey, we win. We win. And our coach will be standing over there with nail-scarred hands. And you know that the Dolphins, they didn't win that game because of their own ability and they didn't train. No, that it was their coach who trained them. It was their coach that pushed them to the limit and that gave them those drills and that sometimes even scolded them and yelled at them and told them to play harder and told them to keep going. It was their coach that pushed them to the limit and pushed them harder and harder. The coach was the reason that they won that game. And in our life, if we want victory in our life, the reason that we're going to get victory as Christians and as this church is because God, our coach is pushing us to the limits. Hey, that's the reason why we go through trials. It's our coach pushing us and putting us through tough times so that we can be stronger for it. You know, those players probably didn't like practicing twice a day. They probably didn't like doing all those drills, all that running, all those push-ups and whatever they did. They probably didn't like it. They probably hated it. But it made them a better player. And it helped them win that game. And whatever our coach tells us to do in His Word, in His playbook, if we do it, we'll become a better player, a better Christian.
hey, we're going to get the victory. I want to be able to. I know that the Bible says that one day the Lord's going to have victory over the devil. I know that. That I don't have to worry about that. I know the Lord. But you know what? In my personal life, I want victory in my personal life as well. I want victory as a Christian. I want to be able to sing one day, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I want to be able to win in my Christian life. And Christian tonight, member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, how bad do you want to win? How bad do you want victory in your life? Like I said, those players, they practiced. They went to practice so they could be a better player. You know how you can practice as a Christian? By getting on this altar. Making decisions. And furthering your walk with God. By getting up on the altar and saying, Lord, I've been struggling in this area. Lord, please give me strength to be a better Christian. That's kind of a practice for a Christian. Making yourself a better player. Hey, I want to win. I want to win. How bad do you want to win? Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed.